Before I start my sermon, God wants me to speak on depression for a minute. Depression is an accumulation of bad thoughts that lead you into a spiritual hole that you can't get out of. And you go to the doctor and he prescribes the medication, and that's like putting flowers down in the hole to make it tolerable. But it doesn't get you out of the hole. You have to learn how to recognize when it's coming, when that bad thought comes in. So I'll give you a homework assignment, because your mental health is extremely important. And if we don't protect our mental health, the devil plays havoc with it. And that is to your homework, your assignment, is to make a list of your blessings. Because when that bad thought comes, you have to speak to it. Not think to it, because it's the word that has the power, not the thought. Okay? The Bible says the life or death is in the power of the tongue. So you can kill it, or you can grow it. That's your choice. You make a list of your blessings. I mean, think about it. It shouldn't take you 5 minutes. It should take you days of thinking about it, days of writing. I have a healthy child. That's a blessing. I have a car to go places. That's a blessing. I have a place to live. That's a blessing. I have food to eat every day. That's a blessing. I have a husband or a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend that loves me. That's a blessing. I have clothes to wear. That's a blessing. And if you spend some time thinking about all the good things you have, and I'm always kind of sad that you don't get to see through my eyes. I get all the phone calls. And I know the depravity that's out there. And I know that people don't know how blessed they are. Because the devil's got you thinking the house isn't big enough, the car's not shiny enough, doesn't go as fast as I want it to go. My clothes are worn. Can't tell you how many people we've given clothes to from our clothing bank that have no clothes. You don't know. I wish you could stand there while a kid is dancing because he's getting school clothes that he wasn't going to get if he didn't come to our clothing room. Or when a woman is crying because her husband stole all the kids' clothes in their divorce and refuses to give them back and they have nothing to wear, and she's standing in the clothing room crying her eyes out because now the kids have clothes. Count your blessings. If you can function. That's a blessing. Why do I say that? Because we have several people right now that aren't functioning. And we think about our aches and our pains and our, well, that came from getting old. If you wouldn't have gotten old, you wouldn't have had those aches and pains. It's your fault. But you can function. That's a blessing. I'm just giving you some things that you could start to write down, because I couldn't stand here for the next 3 Sundays and give you all the blessings that are in your life. Problem is, we don't meditate on the blessings. We meditate on the bad thoughts. And then we're in depression, because that's where bad thoughts will take you. I promise you, you don't have it as bad as you think you do. All right, now I can go back to my sermon. We are preaching on the book of Galatians. And Paul wrote Galatians. And Paul was angry. Very angry. Because of the lack of understanding, the lack of obedience. And he's writing to the churches. And the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. So, there is righteous anger. And if you read the New Testament, you'll be surprised at how many times Jesus was angry. We don't talk about that very much now, do we? He would get angry at the 12. How long is it going to take you to get what I'm trying to tell you? How can you be so thick-headed? How do you not understand? You've seen, you've done. How about that time he sat down and made a whip? He wove that whip in his anger, and that took a minute. You don't weave a whip in 3 minutes. I imagine he sat there for 30 minutes to an hour. I'm just guessing, I don't know. And he weaved that whip. And then he used it. And he knocked over the tables at the churches, the temples. Because instead of worshiping God, they were trying to make money. And it became a racket. And he said, my house is a house of prayer. He got angry. And here Paul is. And Paul's angry. He's been preaching for 15 years at this point. And so if you've missed last week, you can go back and get it on YouTube, yes? Or you can get a CD from the back. And you can see the sermon. But we're on part two today. It doesn't say part two. Oh, in the corner it says part two. Okay, it does say part two. It's called a pastor's perspective. So this is Paul's perspective to the church of Galatia. But as I told you, everything in the Bible is a pattern or principle talking to you today. It's not talking, it's not a history lesson to what Paul had to say to the church of Galatia. It's a lesson for you today, what God is saying to you right now. Because you want to know the truth, nothing's really changed. We color it different, but it's the same thing. It don't matter how you dress up, you're the same person. So God's talking to us. And it's very important that we understand. So we're picking up where we left off in verse, is it 18? 18. Now, Paul's explaining himself. He's trying to tell the people not to look at him as a typical man. Although he's a typical man, the revelation he gets, the words that he gets are from God. He has learned how to listen to God. You would learn how to listen to God too if he took your eyesight from you and said, hey, Kathy, why are you doing this to me? That would get your attention. Paul was mean, Paul was nasty. And I often thought, why should Paul expect? Because I don't expect a lot of things because I've lived through a lot of things. And I know that it takes time for you to come out of a bunch of things. Right? I know you're not going to hear one sermon and turn your life around. Now, sometimes somebody does. That's great. The average person, however, it's a sliding scale at best. Okay? You hear the word of God enough times, you start to believe it, you start to put it in your heart, you start to apply it to your life, and you move further down your journey of faith. That's why we call our Friday night sermons Journey of Faith, because it's a journey that we're on. It's not a light switch. You're not going to flip the switch. But I love watching people transform. That's the joy of a pastor, to watch somebody transform, stop doing some of the things they're doing, and dig into God. It's amazing to watch. That's fun. It is really hard to watch people do what they did in the Church of Galatia, which is what a lot of us people do. So Paul's trying to explain that once he found Jesus, and I have a friend who was the leader of a biker gang. Okay? And he found Jesus, and he did exactly what Paul did. He locked himself in his room for a year. You hear me? He locked himself in his room for a year, and he studied the Bible for a year. Talked to God for a year. When he found God. I wish I had a story like that, but I don't. I find it remarkable, but I love talking to him because he's got so much God in him that. Whew. He pastors a sister church in Fort Lauderdale now. So, Paul's trying to say, now listen. Because I don't have an education and you think I got all this stuff from men, you're wrong. I got it from God. I'm telling you what God tells me to tell you. That's it. So when he found God, he went to Arabia. Now, there was no God in Arabia. He says, I didn't go get with the apostles and the disciples and I didn't go get under the classes and I didn't go do all this. I went and got taught by the Holy Spirit. And I've had pastors look down at me. It's really quite humorous. Because I didn't go to their college of choice. And the devil would use that to discourage me. And then the prophet came in and said, listen, God said to tell you that just because you don't have an education from here, or because you're not steeped in human traditionism, forget all that, you're going to speak my truth. And isn't that what God wants? His truth? Because there's so much deception out there. When he said, there'll be many false teachers and prophets, I had no idea he was talking about that many. I am appalled. Near where I'm from, we've got a pastor right now that's in a little bit of, well, he's not even in hot water yet, but he's starting to be known because he's been fleecing the congregation for years. borrowing money, investing, all that stuff, but he's not returning anything. Why, he lives a lavish lifestyle. Calls himself a man of God. A man of God would never intentionally hurt a sheep. Not going to happen. So he went to Arabia, and he says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother, and I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. There was a time in my life that I preached from what other men taught me. Biggest mistake I ever made. Because I'm appalled at how so little some men of God know. They think they're book smart, but they have no heart for God. If you don't put the character of Christ in everything you say and do and read, then you're not going to get it properly. There's so many interpretations. Okay? So Paul's trying to tell you, listen, I got this from God. I'm bringing it to you from God. Move on. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally known to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Paul was Saul. He was a persecutor, a killer, imprisonment, whatever he could to destroy this thing called the way, which is what Christianity was called in the time of Jesus. It was called the way. It was so risky to be a Christian back then that they had a secret code. Are you aware of the secret code? The secret code is right here. That's the secret code of a Christian. See, one guy in the sand would draw that line. And if the other guy drew this line, then you could talk about Jesus. But if he didn't draw that line, if you talked about Jesus, you risk imprisonment, death, beating, whatever. It wasn't good. Aren't you glad you don't live in those times? Okay? You'll also see the secret code on our lights. Somebody walked in here and said, how'd you get the Ithacus fish on your lights? I didn't know it was on there. It was like, wow. God led me to those lights. That's how I got it. And they were closed out for like $7 a piece. That's the kind of stuff God does. He says, no, I'll take you to where the lights are. And they praise God because of me. Get that right there. And they praised God because of me. You see, what the problem is you want to hold somebody to the standard of who they were before. And here, these people are praising God for who Paul has become. They're not saying, look at that murderer. Look at that killer. Look at that wretched man. I still have people judging people from who they were when they first got here. I got news for you. That's not them anymore. They are different now. When are you going to accept it? They accepted it from the worst guy on the planet. Who could legally do these things? He didn't do it because he hated God. He loved God. He loved God so much that he didn't want anything destroying God. He was just misinformed. He just had it wrong. I'd love to see some people with such zeal for God that they would make a stand. Now, I don't want you to beat anybody, and I don't want you to put anybody in prison. I don't want you to kill anybody. But how about you just make a stand? Don't talk like that in front of me. That's unholy. Somebody called me yesterday. Tell me they're out buying Halloween decorations. You know what I said? I said, that's evil. I made a stand. What would most people say? Nothing. Know where I stand. Please know where I stand. I'm going to tell you. I might hurt your little feelers. But I'm still going to make a stand. I'm not backing down. Truth is truth. If you don't think Halloween's evil, you get my CD on Halloween. I break it down. We go all the way back to the Druids. We get this thing figured out. And now we go in the stores and all the Halloween decorations are up again. Halloween's evil. I don't care what you think. It's evil. So, they praise God because Paul turned his life around. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you looking at somebody as who they were when they got here. This is a hospital for the sick. And we got some people around here that were pretty sick when they got here. Now they're just unwell. No, they're eating the Word of God. Do you understand? They're not that person anymore. Just like you are not that person you used to be. Can anybody witness to that? Amen. I got time for one more scripture. Next scripture. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I have been in those type of meetings. I do not like them. Immaturity comes out real quick. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. we like confirmation, okay? And God has been really good to me my whole time that I've been under his word. The first time I preached, I had 10 preachers in the front row. Scared me to craziness. They saw I was scared, and they came up to me and they said, "Now listen, I want you to know something. We are for you, not against you." And I don't think I've ever preached one sermon without a pastor in the audience in my whole life. And usually there's multiples. We have two people in here with PhDs in theology. We have mature Christians. We have former pastors. Pastor Rick will be back soon. I know you're watching, Pastor Rick. We can't wait for you to get back. Brings a maturity to the house. Amen, absolutely. We have people like Pastor Donna, who's been a pastor for more years than I have. These people have been around the block. They know a thing or two. And they all have my permission that if I say something that's not right, talk to me about it. Prove your case, but come and talk to me about it. Just because you say it doesn't mean I'm going to change, but if you can show me in the Bible, I'll change. Now, we'll pick up next week, but there's this, remember that the gospel, the Jewish people thought they had the monopoly on the gospel. And the Gentiles, in other words, there was extreme prejudice. And Paul was preaching to the Gentiles, which upset a lot of people right off the bat. So next week, we're going to look at this and we're going to see some hypocrisy. Part of the reason Paul was so mad. And what do I mean by hypocrisy? There were people that were acting one way in front of the Gentiles, but then another way in front of the Jews. In other words, there's people that act one way at church and another way when they get out on the street. One way at church and another way at work. One way at church and another way at home. That's not what God wants from you. God wants you to act the same all the time. That's why I don't come in here trying to be holy, trying to act holy. I'm not holding my head, puffing out my chest. I understand I have to act the same way everywhere, all the time. Can't ever change. So Paul's going to deal with that hypocrisy next week. We will carry on. We thank you, God, for today. I thank you for people that want to live a godly life. Give us that desire to live a godly life. So that we can be favorable in your eyes. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you want prayer, please come up and let the prayer team pray for you. But if you don't want prayer, please don't run up here and disturb anybody. Just kind of exit quietly. And if you need to go in the fellowship hall, if you'll go out the front door and go around, would be really helpful so that these people can concentrate on what they're doing.